It is 12:40. Welcome back to the KWMT Power Lunch. And as promised, I've got Ray Jenkins on the phone. Good afternoon, Ray.
Hey, good afternoon, Dwayne.
Well,
we got cold, but I don't know if we froze.
Yeah, you know what? I was going to ask you that. We got right at 32 degrees here, but I really have not heard of any damage. I know there were a lot of guys out kind of looking Saturday morning, but a lot of them felt, too, if there was any damage, it'd probably, you know, take 2 or 3 weeks to, or 2 or 3 days to show up. But, yeah, we got cold right at the freezing mark, but I'm not sure we saw any damage here either. So let's, I guess, kind of cross our fingers and toes that you know, there wasn't any damage here in Iowa.
Well, we've got enough challenges this year with the coronavirus and everything else.
So. Yeah, I totally agree. So, hey, it sounds like you're getting a little bit of filtered sun down your way here today.
Yeah, we've got kind of a cloudy, hazy condition here. Was kind of hoping it would surprise us and warm up into the upper 60s, but we're kind of hovering down there in the lower 60s right now.
Yeah, we're shooting for a high of around 60. We're right in the mid-50s right now with a little bit of sunshine here in Fort Dodge. The crop progress report came out yesterday, and Iowa leads the way in corn and soybean planting the way it looks.
Yes, you know, it's been a relatively smooth planting season here in Iowa, unlike our neighboring states, especially to the east, that have been fighting moisture. Iowa is 91% planted on corn and 71% on soybeans. And we've even got some crop districts, the Northwest and the North Central districts, at 96-97% planted. The laggard, if there is one, is the Southwest crop district at 78%. And even the South Central district where I live is 82% on corn, and I suspect quite a bit of that remaining crop's going to get put in the ground early this week before this next round of moisture.
Yeah, we've been taking calls this week for Feed the Farmer down in Southwest Iowa, and pretty much everybody I talked to, they were hoping to probably wrap up beans here in the next couple days. But, you know, the general theme right now, they could use some rain down that way.
Yeah. Well, when we start to look at the state-by-state numbers for corn, of course, Iowa at 91 and Minnesota right behind at 89%. The Dakotas lagging, especially in North Dakota, which is only 7% planted on corn, and really makes a person wonder if they get another round of moisture up there, if they're going to be talking about prevent plant up there in that part of the world.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that part of the world, the WASDA report that came out at 11 o'clock this morning talked about the USDA resurveying some of that area to the north of Iowa, finding there's still a lot of corn out in the field, and even some soybeans reportedly still out in the field yet to be harvested in North Dakota.
Yeah, I've been checking the North Dakota Ag Statistics page week by week, and I've really been surprised how slowly the last 10 or 15% of their corn crop is coming out of the field. I suspect they're fighting a lot of wet, muddy conditions up there.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that report that came out today, any surprises or anything that stuck out?
Well, a lot of people are thinking it's kind of a yawner report, but there are a couple of things that really caught my eye. One, they dropped the corn for ethanol usage by 100 billion bushels, and I really thought that they might drop it by 200 or more. And I think it's a reflection of the fact that we are starting to see an increase in gasoline consumption, and we're probably going to replace some air travel with travel by automobile. So maybe they feel like the balance of this marketing year isn't going to be quite as bad as expected. And we'll learn a lot more tomorrow when we see another ethanol production report, whether or not these plants continue to ramp up ethanol production there.
Yeah, were there any other things that kind of stuck out? I mean, on the soybean side at all, Ray?
Well, we're showing a decrease in soybean exports of 100 million bushels, but a little change in the farm gate price for this year. Now, this crop report incorporated data that will be used for the next marketing year that starts this September 1 and ends on August 31 of 2021. And they dropped the average farm gate price for soybeans for next year down to $8.20. So if that is going to come to reality, then it looks like some of these 9 to 9.25 and approaching 9.50 November soybean prices may be something a person needs to take some serious consideration of.
Now, we didn't really see a lot of reaction with the grain markets other than they actually turned higher after that report came out. And I guess maybe the carryover from this crop season to the next crop season must not have really been a big factor in the report today.
I think the fact that the carryout for September 1 of 2021 was not above 3.5 billion for corn was something that the market viewed in a positive manner, and as we continue to trade into the end of the day, we continue to see some strength in corn of 2 to 3 cents on the old crop, and soybeans hanging in there in spite of that 100 million bushel drop.
Yeah, you know, backing up to the Iowa crop report, the report came out, Iowa soybeans and corn about a month ahead of last year's pace. So I guess when the USDA report came out, I would imagine maybe a year ago, maybe there were some weather factors played in. But today's report, I guess, maybe too early to really show any weather concerns at this point.
Yes, and one of the things I noticed was that even though Illinois is behind Iowa in the amount of crop that's planted, their crop is emerging at a little faster pace percentage-wise over there. And I think that's just a reflection of the fact that their soil temperatures are probably a good 5 to 7 degrees warmer in Illinois than they are in Iowa.
Yeah, and probably earlier, too, than what we saw here in the state. Wouldn't that be the case as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I would imagine after last year's season, they were probably pretty anxious just to get out there and and get some work done. I mean, just, you know, they had it pretty tough, that Illinois, Ohio, and Indiana region out there. What about grain inspections? They came out yesterday.
Well, we've actually put in two very good weeks back-to-back on corn. It looks like right at or above 50 million bushels each of the last 2 weeks. And although we are significantly behind the previous year's pace because of the pathetic amounts that we exported in the first half of the marketing year, it does look like we are going to have an opportunity for continued sales into many countries. And, of course, we had that big sale to China of 27 million bushels that was announced in the last week. And let's hope that they continue to buy to refill some of their grain stocks.
Yeah. Are you hearing of any concerns around any other parts of the world right now? One of the things, I guess, that kind of sticks out, Argentina, talking about some low river levels over there kind of hampering some movement of soy meal and soy oil and so forth. But are you hearing anything else across the globe?
Well, of course, we talk often about the safrinha, the second corn crop in Brazil, and that's kind of a tale of two different areas. Half of the country has been well watered and looking at a fully normal crop. The other half of the safrinha crop looks to be on the dry side, and this is a pretty critical crop development time period for them. So it looks like right now they're not going to have an exceptionally large crop to hammer U.S. competition in the global market. So we will just have to wait and see what the final numbers on those crops are.
All right. Well, very good. Ray, is there anything else you want to add here while I've got you on the telephone today?
Well, I noticed in the USDA report today that hay inventory has really rebounded through the bulk of the United States, with the exception of the southeastern part of the country. So I know we've gone through a couple of years when hay supply was really tight. Now the quality of these hay stocks may be subject to interpretation, but at least there's a lot of volume.
Yeah, and we're kind of seeing that, too. I keep track of the Rock Valley hay auction, and they've kind of scaled back the reports of the Iowa hay auction, but that's kind of the last reports we've seen where it's been good quality. The biggest thing, I think, right now is more or less the lack of buyers that are actually on site for the auctions right now.
Yeah, well, Just another coronavirus item to contend with, I guess.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Speaking of that, I don't know if you're watching some areas on social media and so forth. Looks like maybe some first cuttings of hay may be occurring south of us, probably in the southern part of the country. So that's always kind of fun to see that start to take place.
Yeah, I've noticed several pictures of rye that's being harvested, and boy, it's awful good looking.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the alfalfa that I've seen up this way, I mean, it looks fantastic, too. It just needs some more growth, and hopefully these guys will have a good hay season this year. So, well, very good. Well, Ray, as always, we always appreciate your time on Tuesday, and hopefully you'll be able to get out and get that lawn mowed here later on this afternoon.
I'm heading that way.
All right, very good. Ray, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
All right, Ray Jenkins, the Iowa Corn Guy. 12:53, I am going to take a break. We'll come back with a market wrap right after this.